You're listening to one in a series of podcasts from the 2009 High Ed Web Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
So, as Stephanie said, I'm Jared Lyon. I'm a web developer at the Rochester Institute of Technology.
And I'm Mark Marcello. I'm a web developer also at Rochester Institute of Technology. RIT is in upstate New York. We have about 16,000 students there, so we're a pretty good-sized school. The one thing that makes this presentation interesting is that we don't have a marketing division. We work in publications, so we work closely with admissions, news, to do the marketing on campus, but there's no one entity that's handling this. So it's kind of a little fun project of ours, I guess.
And it's difficult working in an environment where you have no one that makes the final call on things. We have 8 different colleges, and each college sort of does their own thing, and sometimes it becomes difficult where you say, you have to put the RIT logo on your website. You know, I mean, you're a college, but they're like, but we want to be, you know, known more than RIT. Well, RIT is the parent brand, and those are some interesting conversations because it's cross-divisional, and so they're like, well, you're not even in our division. You can't tell us what to do, and then it has to go up the chain, and then finally someone makes them put the logo on their website. So, yeah, totally not our role to make videos. We are web developers, but we just felt very enthusiastic about this one thing that we're going to be talking about, and that's how it all started. So this is what we're going to be going over. Characteristics of viral videos, marketing, different percentages that have changed over the years, inspiration for our video, or show our video, and then timeline to going viral. And I think that's the really interesting part about our presentation, because if any of you have read the description in the booklet, we have, right now, it's over 200,000 views on our video. So it's pretty cool, pretty viral, right? And then what you can possibly do for viral videos. So what makes a viral video? There's probably more characteristics than this. These are the ones I've come up with, and I think almost every video that I know of that's a viral video fits into one of these 5 categories. Most of them cross the categories. Like if you think about the Numa Numa video with this, you know, kid singing this song, it's humorous, it's creative, and of course there's always luck. Any viral video, there's always a luck factor that you can't necessarily manufacture a video that will be viral. You know, if it was that easy, then everyone would be doing it. And unfortunately, that's not what's happening. And so humor, Numa Numa, the evolution of dance, that's another humorous one, but it's also creative. So they cross the categories. Uncommon content, that's sort of the more of a nebulous category that I was sticking a lot of things into. But a lot of performances, if you've ever shared a video with, there's like some Cirque du Soleil performances, which those people are amazing. You guys know Cirque du Soleil? I've gotten some of those videos forwarded to me before. Other things like someone's Mark's race car things, those are just uncommon, but uncommon content, and it's rare to duplicate is another part of that category, because if it was that easy to do, then it wouldn't be uncommon.
The race car one was Ken Block. He's the co-owner of DC Shoes. He has the Gymkhana video, which is just him driving his car, and then they have DC promotion throughout the video. And the first one had, it was like over 1.5 million views. And I mean, so it's the cost of the video, and then you get that huge of an audience. I mean, you can't get that with television, so that's wonderful.
Also, we're in sort of a secondary realm of viral videos. There's a lot of humorous viral videos, and they're just, you know, some random kid biting his brother's finger or stuff like that. But in this realm, we're in marketed viral videos, and that's a smaller subset for sure, because you want to, you know, market something. So how do you do that without it being too heavy-handed? Because if it is, then no one's going to share your video because it feels marketed. And people respond to that. If they know you're just marketing something to them, they're not going to forward it on. It's not cool. Why would they want to pass it on other than people within your community? So, for example, this video that we did, there was another video that ended up being on TV, but it was just a marketed video. And a lot of people, after they saw our video, they're like, you should have just used that for the television commercial because it was so much cooler. So there's the cool factor, too, but that's probably in one of those. Creativity, uncommon humor, compelling message. That's the compelling message videos, I think, they tend to not be extremely creative or humorous, but it's like things like the Dove Evolution of Beauty commercial where there's this woman and she just looks like a normal woman, and then it's a quick, time lapse where they're putting the makeup on her, and then they're photoshopping her, they're moving her head up, they're slimming her down. And Dove created the commercial just to show you, you know, this is what we view beauty over here, but look how much, like, transformation had to happen. You know, what is real beauty? So those are the compelling messages ones. And sometimes there's the tearjerker ones where there's a father who has a son who's autistic and they run races together, marathons and triathlons. So that's the compelling message. And luck. There's always luck.
A lot of luck.
Yeah, a lot of luck.
We talked about using these for marketing. There's a lot of figures on this, but what I would focus on is the black lines versus the red lines. In 2006, the black bars are the viewers of online videos. And then in just 2 years, there, you know, the percentages more than doubled in some cases. So where other media's newspaper, not as many people are reading newspaper, online videos are really a trend that's increasing. Just some stats. 70% of the internet users in the U.S. view online videos, and that's a big number, and that's 44% of the population of the U.S. So that's, I mean, just so significant. And that's your targeted audience. Any one of those people watching those videos could be, you know, a student coming to your school or whatever. The benefits, this is cheap. I mean, our video, we bought the HD camera and the Dominoes, and we spent around $1,000 maybe. And then
a little less.
For over 200,000 views, that's amazing.
So we were very enthusiastic. I mean, we bought the camera, which I bought for another thing as well. But then we bought the Dominoes because no one was really willing to give us money. Even the marketing committee for this festival that we did the video for, they weren't as enthusiastic as about us.
The effects are long-lasting. We made this video. It went live back in, was it May?
April 24th.
April 24th, and gosh, 4 months after that, a newspaper called me up, and I was on the front page. And then a week after that, it was on a TV spot on the news for like 30 seconds, whatever. So that was months after the video came out. And we're still getting hits now. I mean, it hasn't completely bottomed out yet. And that's just one video.
Yep. It, just a few.
yeah.
I hope we're not building it up too much. Yep, it's coming up.
And this is just a neat tidbit of information. Every minute, almost a full day's of video is uploaded to YouTube. So, I mean, video is really the way to go.
Whoops, that's me.
This is me.
Yeah.
Why we did the video. It was a promotion for this festival RIT has every year called Imagine RIT, Innovation and Creativity Festival. And it's we had a new president come to RIT, and he wanted to stir up the community and get people to show off innovative and creative things they're working on that normally no one would know about because they're not marketed. So we were both on the marketing and PR committee for that, and we came up with ideas. So the first year we had this poster contest and a viral video contest. And as you can see, we had 35 posters and 6 viral videos the first year. Then the second year we had much less. So we had to think of other ways to market this. So we went into one of our meetings and we said, why don't we try doing a viral video of our own? And we came up with Dominoes. They're fun. And there wasn't a lot of buy-in. We were surprised. They didn't. I think it's because our university isn't used to marketing using viral videos. And it's probably like that at many universities. It's a newer way of marketing. So we came out of the meeting and said, let's do this on our own. I mean, it sounds like fun and it can't hurt. What's the worst that can happen? And then it ended up being the most successful marketing technique of the whole festival.
And they're all like claiming blame or claiming credit for it now and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, that happens sometimes. And also what we weren't told was that there was actually classes that the professors said, hey, you know, everyone in this class, I want you to create a poster in 2008. And you know, I want you, the viral video was mentioned in a class as well. It wasn't done in 2009. So that's why, you know, we didn't have any submissions. That's me. This is at the festival. We've created these little they're just rulers with dominoes taped to them, and you could just knock them over and then tip it, and then they'd all set the dominoes back up. And there were so many kids there for it's almost 7 hours. I think
they went for 7 hours. It was like this the whole 7 hours.
And so you know, these aren't people that we're marketing to now necessarily because these are really young kids. But constantly 7 hours, we had two monitors playing two different sections of the video. One was sort of a behind the scenes that was muted. So everyone loved it. And these were inspiration for the video. There was, in 2003, Honda Cog. Has anyone heard of that commercial? Okay, the Honda Cog commercial, which I'll show in a second, it was in 2003. I just loved it because of the cause and effect relationship. Sony Bravia, when their Sony Vega or Wega TVs, they sort of phased those out and they brought in the Sony Bravia brand. And they have done a series of commercials, but this video in particular that we did with the Dominoes was inspired by balls and paint. Very great, all of these, very marketed but cool commercials, and the Guinness tipping point. I think, now let's see if I can do this. We were initially going to be on a different projector, but let's do this. I think I can do this on screen. Let's see if this works. This is the Honda Cog, 2003. $6 million was spent on this marketing campaign, not just for the video, but they had to buy all the TV spots. And basically, these are all parts of a Honda Accord. I think it's a Honda Acura here in the States. But this just aired on TV. Totally different marketing than you're used to seeing for commercials on TV. And the wheels were weighted on the top, because I questioned, like, how are those wheels going uphill? This took 606 takes to complete, literally. I don't remember, but there was many months of preparation, but I don't remember how many hours. Yeah. Yeah, so they'd have to go and just move one thing just a little bit. It's two continuous takes. They said it was one continuous one, but it absolutely is two, and there's a cut that happened. It's already gone by. But it's two continuous takes that they just had to keep redoing. And it's not something that's, it's something that you just watch, you know? And you're like, wow, that's sort of cool. And that's what we were going for. So the weight of that shutting.
Isn't it nice when things just work?
So there it is. What is the thing, the show called? Does anyone know who Garrison Keillor is? That's his voice. A Prairie Home Companion? Yep, that's him. I'm just going to show one more of the, one of the four that really inspired us. This one I really love because of the color and the simplicity of all of these. This is all real. Commercial was 2007. The one that really kicked it off was Sony Bravia balls, and they dumped $250,000 balls down a San Francisco street in color like no other. So really enforcing that that brand that they did a series of them. There's probably 10 of them that took place in different cities and stuff. But we were looking at when someone said, "Hey, we want to really do something cool for the commercial or for Imagine RIT. What do we do? How do we do it?" This commercial. Let me go back to the presentation. Where were we? There we go. So $6 million for the first one. I don't know how many were for the Sony Bravia ones. Guinness Tipping Point, that was, you know, that was part of a $20 million campaign. It was the most expensive commercial that Guinness had ever done. So then there's us, and we're like, how can we do something as cool as that, but with no money, really? And that's what we ended up trying to do. These were slides before, in case we didn't get video working, Honda Accord. That was the Sony Bravia balls. And none of these were really new concepts. David Letterman in 1996 dumped two big tubs of rubber bouncy balls down a San Francisco street when he was in San Francisco for a few shows. So that none of these are really new. The Honda Cog, there was a 1987 video called the way things go, it was a 30 minutes of this happening. And there's that one. And then this was the Guinness tipping point, which is the closest one to dominoes. There's dominoes that happen. It keeps hits suitcases, barrels, cars, and then it ends up they're hitting books and they unfold or they whatever they do. And then it makes a Guinness thing. So that's where we were. And now finally we get to our video. Yeah. How do we do it? I think going into it, I wanted it to be very simple. You know, there's not really any actors in most of those videos, but there's a lot of color, simplicity, and here's our video. Actually, let's see if I can play this within. The man at the beginning is the president of the university who, the man coming up, it's a cardboard cutout. He started the festival, so this was the second year of our festival. It's supposed to be a tail. You don't need to know that for it to be cool, though. Yeah, right?
That, next slide.
That's the next slide. How about that? I will say, though, just because some people questioned it, none of those are attached to anything. They're set up dominoes. On the carpet, we have dominoes laying down that the dominoes are stacked on top of because the carpet was so wobbly that we couldn't set up a domino.
Some people thought domino rally where you could just tilt it and
some people thought
get set up.
They were attached to something, but no. We.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So yeah, here we go. We were asked if it was computer generated. I'll see, how did this work? I think YouTube was becoming popular on the iPhone when we released the video. So on the iPhone, it looked surprisingly good on that screen. So people thought it was all computer generated. And it's definitely not, I can promise you.
Because we filmed it in HD, I think. That was why, because it looked so crisp that they were like, did you use Maya for that? Or what 3D? No, that would have been easier, actually, I think. But looking at those inspirational videos, they were all sort of real, you know? There wasn't, you know, they're really shooting all this paint out in Glasgow, Scotland, and they're really dumping all these balls down a street in San Francisco, and we wanted that.
Oh, yeah. To answer your question, it took us 4 nights of setting up dominoes. We didn't use one of the night's footage because it was for an alternate ending, which we'll show later on. But, yeah, it was 3 painstakingly long nights, part of the day setting them up. We had one camera, so it gives the illusion that it's all one shot, but we would set up a long shot, pull out a few dominoes and shoot a section, and then keep going and set it up like that. And then Jared and his wonderful editing, you can't tell most of that.
A lot of editing. But yeah, that's why in the beginning we wanted to show people there's those black and white panning sections. We wanted to show, there's a lot of these dominoes set up, even if later, because we only had one camera, we're taking them out and just filming those little shots. But we did set up, you know, thousands all at once.
It took about 3 months of planning. When we walked out of that one marketing meeting, that's, I guess, when we started planning this out. And then we bought some dominoes. We ordered some at first that were too small, and they just would have kept falling over all the time. So we ended up using those, gluing them together to make the stairs that you see go up. And then, we used 5,000 total dominoes. 2,000 were for the stairs, and then, like what Jared said, laying down on the carpet, making those pyramids that they go up and down. That actually took a lot of dominoes to do. the copier shot, when the machine turns on, that was probably our number one question asked. How did that happen? Is there a button down there? Did we use an RFID tag for it? We just timed it. We use the copier every day, so we know how long it takes to print something. So we just sent a print and then had it, you know, film, and it worked out.
Sometimes it's more about the illusion. I mean, normally people, when they watch this, they didn't know that it was just one camera and these things.
Yeah.
But we're giving away the secrets. And all of those, the other ones had the secrets too, where the cog, they say, is one shot, but really it's two. And they later said that, oh, well, it's actually two shots. And the paint one that I showed, those paint explosions are actually huge barrels of paint that they, with CG, took out. So you're seeing paint explode, but you're not seeing the barrel that was there before. And also it was environmentally friendly, I should say. It took them a week to clean up all that paint. They had to wait for it to dry, and then it was sort of like latex that you would peel up.
And then a lot of time and patience. It's like some of the shots setting up the table, maybe it took half an hour to do. But the alternate ending that we're going to show you, it took, I think it was 7 hours on one table to set up all these dominoes. So it can be.
And then we scrapped it.
It takes a long time. I was very mad when we did
it. It was the original ending, and then he came in a few days later when we were doing the next one. And I said, yeah, we're not going to use that ending. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, no, it just doesn't work. It didn't quite work for some reason. So going viral. So April 24th is when we had to go live with it, because while we were doing this video, we filmed everything in April. A Get Viral for Big Bucks is what it was called. It was a viral video competition that came out. And we said, hey, I think we could do this. Enter our domino video, because you just had to be at least a part-time student. And Mark was a part-time student. So we're like, hey, we can submit. And that's why we had to get it live by April 24th. And also on May 2nd, day of the festival, we wanted the video to be out for a little while before, you know, the day of the festival. You know, we wanted it to promote the festival.
We ended up winning that contest, too. We took first place for the Get Viral contest, and it had a $3,000 prize. So the video paid for itself.
Which is awesome. So we just, the first day, Facebook, Twitter, email, IMs, we just was really, everyone in our office, we kept telling people, share this around, let's see what we can do. And we weren't expecting, you know, we were just happy when it was mentioned on the radio on the next Tuesday. I was like, what? It was on the radio? And people were like sending emails. So amazing that it started taking off. Faculty, staff, we have one email address for our faculty staff at RIT. And I said, hey, you know what, why don't I send this to them and just, you know, tell people about it that way. That was when we got the most hits in this first 12 days. And then there's the news department sent it out in a daily e-newsletter. And then finally, the day of the festival, we had 68,000 views, and I was ecstatic. 68,000. We really weren't sure what to expect. And then,
worth noting, this is all on YouTube. You'll see a shift in a minute.
Yes. All the blue is YouTube, and you can see some slight, maybe, the red. That's Vimeo, and I wanted to post it on Vimeo because I really like that site, and I thought the quality was better on Vimeo.com. Has anyone heard of Vimeo yet? Everyone? Yeah.
So then
this happened. So the gray box on the bottom left, like over there, that's the first slide that I just showed you. All this red now is Vimeo. This website, it's sort of an international design inspiration blog called foubiz.net. It's primarily in French. They found the video, and they posted it. And then Not Caught, which is another design inspiration type site, found it. Mark Hoppus, who's the lead singer of Blink-182, he posted it on his blog. And between the two, we were tracking what was happening. You know, YouTube has a certain way of their tracking statistics. And Vimeo, I like YouTube's better, I think, than Vimeo. But still, I mean, it was harder to find where things were being tracked from on Vimeo.
And one neat thing about Mark Hoppus posting this on his blog, we already posted on our Facebooks, you know, this, hey, check out this video. But then when this happened, I'm like, oh my gosh, Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 has our video. And you post it again. And it just, you know, helped propagate this out virally.
Not expected that it would go this viral. And that's the luck factor that was in there. Because I think we had the creativity, uncommon content, some of those. Folky blog, that's some Swedish, like, 18-year-old girl. All of the views on Vimeo now, like, she's always at the top. I don't know who's going to that site. I'd never heard of it, but that's helped, you know. All of these are cumulative, obviously, so it could be a lot coming from Not Caught and stuff, but these are the first instances of when those things occurred.
And that was almost 30,000 views in this one day.
Yeah, 30,000 one day. Of course, it was after the festival, but I think because we didn't put a date on it, we specifically didn't want to in the news department, and people came down saying, you didn't put a date on the video. Well, we put it in the description because we wanted the video to last longer than a week, you know? And we had to convince them of that, but then it was like, hey, we did this video on our own, so, you know. Gizmodo was the big one that I was like, oh my God, Gizmodo, because that was a site that we go to, you know? These other ones you don't really go to very often. I mean, Dig, but Dig's sort of different. Gizmodo, it was cool that we got on there. And then Peru picked it up. This blue shines again from YouTube. This Peruvian huge newspaper site. It's like the New York Times of Peru. They posted it on their site, and then we started getting more YouTube hits. So, you know, a lot of things happened, and I was obsessive about it. You know, every day before I left work, I'd be like, "How's it doing?" So we were very happy with where it went.
So yeah, now how could we redo this if we had to do it again? And then maybe you guys can take this advice if you were to take the same route. Because there's no formula. If there was a formula, like Jared said, everyone would just be making viral videos all the time. But there are 5 things that we can do to help.
So one, state your objective. I wanted it to be very simple, and I wanted color, and that was about it. And that's why we ended up scrapping the alternate ending, which is the next slide, I think, or the next, video. I didn't feel as cool as the other ones, because we were really zooming in on the shots of the dominoes. And on YouTube, there's all kinds of domino things that are happening on YouTube, but it's always poorly shot. It's one person, and it's like they're showing you the whole set of dominoes, and you just sort of watch, and you get bored, and then you fast forward real quick to see where it ends. But this one, I intentionally didn't want people to know where it was going, because it was part of that journey, you know? And I think that happened with the Honda Cog and the Sony Bravia Balls to an extent. All of them, you're not sure where it's going, and I think that's a big tip. Because, you know, if they see it all in one shot, then there's no point really watching more. And also, as part of the stating your objective, make sure that you have a way of tracking that. Because University of Maryland did a holiday card in 2008, and it was really cool. I loved how they did it. They got Connie Chung and all these famous alums from University of Maryland, but they didn't really track it well. And then they posted it on YouTube, and it's had like 2,000 views on YouTube. But what about all those? Because you were always pushing people to your own website, and they didn't track it. So they have no way of knowing how viral it really went, although people are saying, oh, yeah, I saw it. And it was pretty cool. It was a good video. Be yourself. That's another key thing. You know, like I said at the beginning, if you're marketing to people heavy, then they don't even want to watch it. So we would throw in like an RIT flag and there's a tiger, and we did those subtle things. And then at the end is really that final, you know, hey, come to the festival. It was really amazing hearing the day of the festival, people coming up and saying they were showing it at their kids' like second grade classroom and stuff. And the president of RIT actually brought it up. I'm rarely in a meeting with him. In fact, I think I've only been in one, but he brought it up and we were both in that meeting. We were like, oh yeah, we're the guys that did that, just so you know. So that was cool, you know. Keep it short. Definitely keep it short unless there's some reason why people are extremely engaged to watch more. Ours is 2 minutes, and that's easy enough. As one of the people, the higher-ups at RIT said, it was just enough that I could show it before I talked at this presentation at some Liberty Hill conference or something. And that was before the festival, which was cool.
Yeah, any more would have been too long. We had a few people say it was too long, but, I mean, the overwhelming majority thought it was just fine, so.
Write a good description. I think as part of the reason why FooBiz and NotCa and Mark Hoppus, the reason why it was found is because within the tags, we have creativity and inspiration. And those sites were design inspiration websites. We also had, you know, RIT and some of those tags. But I think the reason why those other sites found it was because of those tags, because they're just always looking for cool stuff like that. And obviously, embrace social media. I think we've heard about that enough at this conference. But yeah, Facebook, Twitter, just everywhere. We tried, you know, getting it out to as many people as possible. But even doing that, we only did, you know, 6,800 views, which was that first 12 days or whatever it was. So even doing that, it needs to be a video that would compel people to share it because they think it's cool, humorous, uncommon content, those 5 factors before.
That's the great part about viral videos. You pay for the production, but you don't pay for any of the advertising. It just does it all for you.
And it's always happening, sort of. Mm-hmm. As we were tracking what sites were linking to it, mostly through Vimeo, there was a Russian site that was saying, hey, if you're going to be in the States, you should check out this festival in Rochester, New York. And there was a Brazil site. I was amazed. Japanese, which I couldn't translate that one very well. But I was trying to translate all of them, and I sent them to the head of news saying, hey, you know, this video is really taken off. Plus, we wanted to win the competition and get the $3,000. So, okay, so this was night 3. This was the initial ending of our video that I sort of scrapped because I was like, nope, I'm the final say, and we're scrapping it.
And this was, like, one of my favorite parts, too.
It was cool. It just doesn't have the same feel. Mm-hmm. That was my thought. come from this. Yeah. Oh, also, I just, because of the video that happens to be in it, that's me standing up using no hands trying to walk up a ladder to get a good shot of this table of, this was, I think, 1,600 dominoes, and we had to use a wide-angle lens. So it's not really obvious what we're trying to do exactly there, but you'll see right here. And it screwed up, too. The two sets of dominoes went around. So it's sort of cool. It does the logo, but I later realized, let's do it this other way, because I think it's simpler and more clean, because all the other stuff was very shot up close. Whoops. No, I didn't edit it. What other colleges are doing? This guy at the, I can't remember his name, I actually have it written down somewhere, but at the University of Minnesota, he wrote a book called The Physics of Superheroes, and it's a very well-known book, and he actually was asked to be a consultant on the Watchmen movie. We've all heard of the Watchmen movie. So he was a consultant in the movie saying, well, physics probably wouldn't quite work like that. Not that, you know, physics really work like they do in this movie, but this video has had 2 million views on, and it's actually longer than I would think. It's like 7 minutes, I think. So The Science of Watchmen, and he goes through these different things that happen within the movie, primarily the blue man, I don't remember his name, doctor or something, Manhattan. So he just talks about it, and, you know, it's a cool video, and I think there's a lot of comic book fans that liked watching that. And I think he's actually on the commentary on the DVD as well. University of Maryland, I mentioned the holiday greeting. And these links will all be, we have a link at the end that's to a website that we're listing all of these, so you can watch them later. Dude Perfect, Texas A&M, is anyone here from there? I was talking to, there we go. Dude Perfect, not that it was a video that your college produced, but hugely popular. These guys from Dude Perfect, they just shoot basketballs. And you think, oh, it's something simple. But they're like shooting them like from up in a stadium. They're shooting a basketball, and it's going through a hoop in the stadium. And they're shooting it from multiple angles, and you can watch them at the same time. I think they're probably doing that a lot, and they're only showing you the cool shots because people are like, how are they doing this? And on Good Morning America, they're calling them, and like, how'd you do it? And they're not telling. But it's like they just sit around shooting basketballs at hoops all the time. And there's six of them. It's very cool, though. And
there is
all
one shot where you can see there's a bunch of balls in the.
Yeah. It's like, oh, they've just been shooting them, and you know, they're sort of off on the side. But they all. Yeah, I figured. And they all have Texas A&M shirts on, though.
Yep.
And you know, how great is that marketing right there? So, what can you do? Like I said, there's always a lot of luck. And that's something that you can't really manufacture in any way. But for us, it was just something that we were very enthusiastic about, and we thought it was going to be creative and fun. We didn't realize necessarily how much work it was going to take the last night of filming. I was editing the video at 4:30 a.m. because we had to submit it at like 8 a.m. the next day for that competition, or the same day, 4 hours later. So that day was excruciating. But it was fun, and we were so driven by it that we thought, this will be cool, it'll be cool. And we wanted to, it was sort of in spite of the other people. We're like, oh no, we're going to do this, and it's going to kick ass. So, you know. Collaborate. There's some really interesting videos online now. The YouTube Symphony, in B-flat, and the Sour video, they're all sort of harnessing YouTube and seeing what can we do with this. The Sour video, there's all these different people on webcams, and they've coordinated it so they each have a section of a heart, and they sort of put it up in the corner of their webcam, and all the four webcams make a heart. And then it's just really interesting. And again, the links will be in at the website URL that we'll list at the end. In B-flat is cool because it's all these people playing instruments in these different like B-flat notes, and you can start and end any of these 16 videos at any time, and it still makes sort of cool music. And I'm like, how did they do that? It's sort of weird. Don't worry about being low budget. We did spend some of our own money, but literally $6 million for the Honda Cog, and we spent less than $1,000. And really, the camera I was buying for something else. So $250 worth of dominoes is what we bought. And part of what I have always done is I sort of keep this ongoing list of cool ideas. And those videos were right there in that list, and they're sort of in a YouTube playlist. And I never knew exactly how it would work, but then just one day I said, hey, why don't we do dominoes? So there's those, you know, random inspirations that you can't account for. So this is some just cool things that I think other places are doing. Not colleges, but just viral things. This isn't even a video. There are videos of it, but it doesn't need to necessarily be a video for it to be a cool thing that you do. This is in Australia. These sort of rogue artists go and set up all these crate men, and it's just like, wow, that's sort of cool and easy to do relatively. And I'm sure a lot of you have seen this I don't even know what you call it, the barrel man.
Barrel monster or whatever?
Barrel monster.
The one on the left, this, I believe a college student defaced the property and made this, and then he got arrested for it. But they liked it so much, they paid him to make the second one, the highway department or whatever.
I think that was in North Carolina, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And this was at a coffee festival in Australia again, where they basically, there's four different types of coffee, and all the cups are filled, and they made a Mona Lisa out of it. There's a video, a time-lapse video of it. It's just, I mean, it's just cool. It's the cool factor. And that's all we have, I think.
Yeah, on this website, we have, right. Like Jared said, videos to all of the videos, or links to all the videos we talked about, contact information for us, and our slides.
And then some, because there's actually some parodies. Every one of the videos that I showed, the COG, they all have parody videos that came along with them that later, and one of them is really cool called Tango, where instead of these balls rolling down a street, it's all fruit, and it's just smashing, and it's really vibrant with color, and they're smashing windows, and they're just, it's a really cool commercial, and then they say, taste like no other or something, and then they have their brand. And every one of those, the Honda COG one is also interesting, so you just check them out.
So,
and that's it. Any questions? To repeat the question, it was basically, do you worry about rights of other people taking your video and using it as their own? And we do have the rights to the video, complete rights to it. And we specifically, people later said, why don't you put music into the video? Well, I don't want to deal with rights with music. You know, this is just bare bones. And I like the sound of the dominoes. I think they're sort of cool. Although, you know, after working with this video so much, it's like, oh, okay, there's the dominoes again.
We actually did have one case where someone took our video because we put up the raw footage, and they reposted it on their accounts. And we contacted YouTube and had them take it down.
Yeah, there was YouTube. We posted it to, I didn't show that we posted it to Break.com and Daily Motion as well. But the number of views was minimal. But yeah, there was a couple cases. That was the initial one. And then Daily Motion had some other people. And even on Vimeo, someone reposted it. And I submitted a thing like copyright violation to them. And they actually ended up taking them down within a few days. And I think it was most of the time it's people that they're wanting to, like, create a playlist. Wow, it's really loud over there. I'm surprised we haven't heard the music from next door, because they said there was going to be music over there. But I think people, a lot of times, they're just trying to create their own playlist. And that's what this guy on Vimeo did. But just a quick thing, and they removed it.
Because at no point were they trying to claim they did it. They just, I mean, we don't want other people to go to their video and watch it. We'd rather get our hits up. So.
And to a point, in a way, we shouldn't care too much because it's still promoting the festival, which was the main goal of it. But we also wanted to track the hits and stuff, so I just filled out those copyright violations. Yep. Oh, yes, yes. Absolutely. Did he present that at the TED conference, I think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Even if it's not promoting literally what you're doing, I mean, EP Bird and Blend Tech, they're two companies that, you know, they're EP Bird's the Diet Coke and Mentos, and Blend Tech is Will It Blend. They're just, you know, trying to do cool things. I think EP Bird, there's some sort of entertainment type place, but Will It Blend is just, they sell blenders. And they have these cool videos of them, you know, just blending stuff. Like, I think I remember when the iPhone came out that day, they did one of the iPhone, and everyone's like, no.
But we looked up the stats, and their sales went up 500% after having those videos. I mean, that's, how else could you do that? That's so wonderful.
And that's the humor, too, with the one with the lasers. Sometimes, if you're getting too technical, no one's going to share it because it's not mainstream enough. So they have to add in that humor. And also, there was another factor that I didn't include in that list that I had was community. I think a lot of times, like, or maybe did I mention that already? I might have. But getting a community involved, if it's just your local community, that can be cool for your community and your college. But if you really want to make more of a name, you have to do something that's going to go beyond that. Like, if you just do something that was, if your school's big into basketball and it's just people, you know, saying how great the basketball team's going to be, it's not really that interesting, you know? Like, I could see 100 of those, but you have to do something humorous or those other factors to really get that viralness. Yeah, exactly. Or it's that uncommon content of people, you know, face planting while they're stomping on grapes or something.
I come from Montreal, Canada,
mm-hmm.
and the thing with the University of Montreal is that they have
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I saw it up in another track. He posted it earlier, and I said, my God, my little school in Montreal,
yep.
French school, mm-hmm. is on a track.
That's wonderful.
Are you from that school? No, I'm from Ashley, but because it's the same thing for the
Yeah, when I was at lunch earlier, someone said, oh, you're a presenter. What are you presenting? I'm like, oh, well, this video. And he goes, oh, the one with the dominoes with the piece of paper and the tigers thing? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool that someone saw my video, you know?
Flash mob, yeah.
Oh, yes, flash mobs.
Yep.
That's another, yeah. I had that initially in this, but yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a wedding video that this couple did, and they're singing Freddie Mercury, it's a Queen song, I don't remember what it is, Mr. Fahrenheit. And it's just they're going around this whole wedding party, and people are singing the song, and it's very cool as well. Yeah. So that's it. Any other questions? Extensive film
background.
No, I'd never actually. It was the first video camera I ever bought.
Yeah, we bought the camera for this.
Yeah, so. And I've watched enough videos and seen a lot of the domino videos because I just love dominoes. But I didn't like how they were shot because I'm like, oh, this could be done so much better. So when we came up with dominoes, like I said, a lot of these they're not new ideas, but they're done in a different way. And so no, I think we all were surprised at how well it edited together.
Mm-hmm.
No film background whatsoever. Never taken a film class.
So.
Domino background, yes.
I did have domino rally growing up.
Yep.
Well, cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yep.